Okay, we're live. Cool. Welcome to Around the Whiteboard. We'll keep this moving as quick as he can, but I just need to explain for any noobs that might be in the comments, or for Ariel, because she clearly hasn't looked at this yet. So we've got three topics. You've got 60 seconds per topic. If you go over your 60 seconds, you're going to be muted. If you start rambling as well, you're going to be muted. You get points awarded for like validity of opinion, specifics, examples, like passionate delivery, hotness of take if it's a good one. If it's a shit take but it's hot, I'm just going to leave it alone. This week on the show, we have got Taylor Self of Sentinel Training, who I'm tempted to give him a point just because he's wearing my top. Taylor's actually going to be at Wadapalooza, and he's doing some coaching at Wynwood on Friday and Sunday.
Dude, right? I gotta leave and fix my handle, dude. Can you do that?
I can do it for you.
All right.
Hey, I have a question.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
I'm using my phone to record. Will you show a clock of a minute on anything?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That was a fair question. I'll show it to you on the screen, cool. Just to see if you can actually see it on your phone. Can you see that top right?
It looks like no. It's really small.
Yeah, well, you're on a phone.
Oh, that's better? Perfect. No, that's great. Okay.
All right. I'll bring that up in a minute. So we've also got multi-year games athlete, glasses wearer, and the definition of aging like a fine wine, Brent Fukowski. And we've got third fittest on earth, and more importantly, wife to my favorite man in CrossFit, Dylan, Ariel Lowen.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're going to start off. If you're writing in the comments, I really appreciate it, but like, might as well not be, because I'm not going to be able to look at it for a while. I'll catch up between topics, so if there's something good that you want to say. So thank you, the three of you, for coming on, first of all. Now, the way we're going to work it is Ariel's going to start first, and we'll work our way down the line. So everyone gets a chance going first, second, and third. Fuck, I'll never get it right. And we will have a 20-second rebuttal. So 60 seconds of talk, then we'll come back up the line. Ariel will go again on the rebuttals first, and we'll have 20 seconds. So she can either add to her own point, criticize someone else's point, agree with someone else. And this is just what happens when I speak. Yeah, Brent goes turd. I'm sorry about my accent. Someone messaged me, or someone like responded to things saying, hey, when are you going to learn to talk? I can't remember the wording, but when are you going to learn to talk properly so people that aren't native speakers can understand you? And I was like, dude, fuck you. Like, surely the onus is on you to, fucking bullshit. Anyway,
that's when you tell them you don't have to listen to my podcast.
I mean,
I don't think he's bold enough for that yet. He needs all the busy. Yeah, let's go.
No, Brent, I am one listener away from it all falling apart. Okay. So our first question, we'll start off nice and easy. So is Don Fall the right man to lead CrossFit? And I just need to share my clock. There was an L in there, clock. Okay. So Ariel, you're first. I need a pen and something to write on. There we go. Ariel, you're first. You got 60 seconds when it goes down to 60. Off you go.
Okay. I think they had the right guy and then they booted him. I've met Don in person. He's very nice. But he was recently on a podcast. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called Coffee Pods and Wads. On this podcast, he talked about how his employees are all around the world. They don't meet in one central location. And I think it's clear from what we've seen on social media, there's a disconnect and it feels like people aren't working in the same place. And he goes on this podcast and he says, he appears too nice. He doesn't want to uproot families and stuff like that. But I think if you want to grow the sport, you want to grow the CrossFit business, you kind of have to make change. And change is uncomfortable and people don't always like change, but that's how you grow. I grew up in a military family. We moved every 3 years. That's what you had to do for business. That's what you had to do to make money for your family. But I think at the end of the day, because CrossFit's under a board of directors and trustees, whatever you want to call it, he might not have much say, but I'm going to go with no.
That's okay. Cool. Right, Taylor, you've got 60 seconds. Off you go.
I agree with Ariel. No, I do not think Don Fall is the right person to lead CrossFit. He seems to be a fantastic CEO. I think he's well-spoken. He actually does CrossFit. He seems to bridge the gap nicely between that infamous board of directors and the old guard, so to speak. But I don't think he's written any journal articles. He hasn't taught any level one seminars. So I don't think he's the right person to lead CrossFit. I don't think leadership and CEO need to be synonymous. I think we need a leader that can embody, guard, preserve, and push forward the methodology the way Greg Glassman did. I don't think that's Greg Glassman anymore, obviously. It's clearly not Don Fall, but they need someone who can be a sentinel for the methodology, so to speak. I don't think Dave is that person either, but CrossFit needs to be working harder than ever to find somebody who can lead from the front, push the methodology forward, and be somebody who really embodies what CrossFit stands for. That person's not Don, although I think he is a good CEO.
Good stuff. All right, Brent, you got 60 seconds. Off you go.
Yeah, I think the answer is I don't know, because I've never owned a multi-million dollar company. If I did own a multi-million dollar company, I think Don Fall would be on the list of people I'd interview. And if he wanted to work for me, and if I had the money to afford a guy like him, I'd probably give him whatever job he wanted. Like, he's super qualified, super.
Oh, no. I'll just pause the time, I guess.
Yeah, pause it.
I think you got to deduct points.
I'm guessing someone called
me. Yeah, call me. Sorry.
You're back.
Okay, I paused your time.
So I think, Peter, I think you asked the wrong question. I think the question isn't, is he the man to lead CrossFit? I think the question is, like, you know, does the current ownership, are they putting this, are they pushing CrossFit Inc. in the right direction? Because at the end of the day, he's a CEO, and he's just executing on their mission, right? He's just executing on their vision. And I think he's doing probably a really good job of that. Because I think, you know, he's executing on their mission. I think he's really good at doing that type of thing as a CEO. And yeah, I think he asked the wrong question, Peter.
Wow. Fuck you.
I'm coming hot, baby.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever had anyone start on minus 10 before. All right. Okay, Ariel, you've got 20 seconds. So the clock's still going to start at 60, but it'll just go down to 40. So you got 20 seconds to rebut anything.
I wouldn't say I rebut anything. I really like Taylor's point about the methodology. I have drank the Kool-Aid. I love CrossFit. I've been doing it for 10 years. And I think that's what we need to push to people, is like, who is going to represent CrossFit and get people to drink the Kool-Aid and keep drinking it day after day, year after year.
Good stuff. All right, Taylor, off you go.
I own a multi-dollar company, and so I think I'm pretty qualified to talk about who they should hire as a CEO or a leader. But no, in all seriousness, I agree with both of them. I just think they need somebody to stand at the front. They don't have that.
Good stuff. All right, Brent, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think Taylor's point's an interesting one. I don't think I would. I mean, you saw what happened with Subway when they had one guy, Jerry, just like as the front guy. So I think it's a pretty risky thing to hedge everything on like a central guy. If it works, it works really well. But it's like one thing gets dug up in the past or in the present and it's all over. So
good stuff. Okay.
Hold on, Peter. Do you know the backstory on Jared from Subway?
Is that the guy that lost all the weight?
Yeah, but do you know the backstory?
I know something weird happened, but I don't know. I just know that he was like everywhere and then just vanished.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, Google it, dude. But damn, that was a tough. That was a good rebuttal for Brent. I feel bad.
Asked the wrong question. Never seen this tactic before. Yeah, it was a bold. It was a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. All right. I just need to change your names to your points and then reveal. So Brent minus.
I thought you'd respect me if I challenged your authority. Sometimes that works.
I thought so too. I thought it was a minus minus, double minus, so plus 20.
All right, so Taylor's on 3. Ariel and Brent are on 2 each. There's some good points made. I thought Taylor kind of stuck his stake in the ground a bit harder than Ariel. I kind of agreed more so, fell in line with what those guys were saying. But I did respect Brent telling me I was an idiot. But I think Taylor kind of just seemed a bit more into like, it shouldn't be this guy, it shouldn't be this guy. And I think that was good rather than the kind of ambiguity. All right. Topic two, Taylor, you're up on this one. Should CrossFit the methodology separate from CrossFit the sport? So this is actually just going to start straight away on 60 seconds because I didn't do it. Go.
Absolutely not. Sport is about pushing yourself and competing as an athlete. The methodology is about finding optimal health and staving off decrepitude. In an old journal article written by Glassman, the founder of CrossFit, athletes are able to stave off decrepitude far more effectively than non-athletes. Athletes have greater bone density, stronger immune systems, less coronary heart disease, reduced risk of cancer, fewer strokes, less depression than their non-athlete counterparts. Furthermore, the methodology is sport. The methodology is constantly varied functional movements at high intensity. The race and sport and tracking your time and logging your scores are the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 most effective tools for drawing intensity out of yourself and the athletes you coach. This is why we have the whiteboard. Men die for points. Sport drives intensity. Intensity creates fitness. And fitness is the answer to the world's most affecting problem. So sport, methodology, one and the same. No, do not separate them. Stake in the ground.
I'm glad you said stake in the ground at the end because you had like a weird inflection at the end of one and the same. And it sounded like you're going to say something else, but you just sat still. And I was like, please say something else. Still. All right, Brent, you're up. You got 60 seconds. Off you go.
Yeah, I think that works in principle, but in practice it doesn't, because if you're running a sport, you know, you're going to say you want to make a change. You want to make a change and it's like, hey, it makes the sport safe. It makes it more fair. The fans like it. The athletes like it. Everyone likes it. But then you go, oh, wait, we got to check all the journal articles and all the slogans and the CrossFit level one and double check to make sure we're not like changing anything that might upset those things. And then you go, oh, crap, we found a journal article from 2011 that mentions unknown and unknowable. And now we can't make a consistency in the sport. So sorry, we can't make the change. And so I think if you're hamstrung by the idea that you can't change anything that contradicts a CrossFit journal article or an old interview or anything like that, you're going to be in trouble trying to change and trying to grow a sport. So I think they do need to be separated.
Interesting. Classic PFA has to bring safety in. all right, Ariel, you're up. 60 seconds. Off you go.
Changes should be made. I think it's a problem when I've made more money at the CrossFit Games than CrossFit has made more money at the CrossFit Games, but I don't think separating them is the answer, because I think of the CrossFit Games and CrossFit, like CrossFit is the anchor to the CrossFit Games ship. If you get rid of the anchor of CrossFit, our ship is just going to be floating around from island to island. Like, are we high rocks? Are we a triathlon? Are we a weightlifting meet? Like, nobody really knows what we are. And if I look at other organizations that have tried to do this, it's never been effective. Like, you look at the NFL, they tried to break off and do the XFL. Who knows what it is? I don't know, but it's not as successful as the core as what it started as, which for us would be CrossFit. Also, I feel like we would get mixed with Grid League. Same thing. What is Grid League? I don't know if they do CrossFit, but I see videos and they do really weird things. I think CrossFit would keep us anchored.
Good stuff. All right, Taylor, you've got a 20-second rebuttal time. Off you go.
I don't think unknown and unknowable is a strong enough reason to separate sport and methodology, because I don't think unknown and unknowable means we can't give the athletes a list of movements to expect within the scope of a season. It just means we're not going to give you the 21:59 workout that you're doing at the games. Separate the two. I just don't like it.
All right, you're over your time. Sorry. It's harsh.
Yeah. But
I was nervous
that was quick, so
okay. Right, you've got 20 seconds now, Brent.
Yeah, so in practice I've been in meetings with employees of CrossFit Inc, and the unknown and unknowable has been a specific reason why they haven't created consistency for athletes and for the sport. So for me, like in practice, in reality, it seems to be the only way we can create those things that are needed, which is consistency, fairness, and, you know, real rules.
All right. Oh, I nearly got to mute you. I was too slow. all right. Ariel, you've got the last 20 seconds on this topic. Off you go.
I would just want to pick Brent's brain. If he said we should separate them, then what should we be if not the CrossFit Games? Would it be like the fittest on earth? Then like, what's our niche? Can I ask questions to other people?
I mean, you're not going to get an answer to it within your time slot, but you can ask whatever you want. I mean, I would classify that as a waste of 20 seconds, but you can ask them the question.
You're good.
You can. All right,
Brent, you can answer that. You can answer that while I'm adding up the points.
Yeah. So, like, I guess let me put it to you this way. In my experience, when it's convenient for competitions, and that this includes CrossFit Inc. and other competitions, when it's convenient for them, they'll say, oh, we can't do that because, you know, it's the methodology, it goes against that. And then when it's convenient for them, they'll say, oh, you know, we're going to do this because the methodology. So they kind of flip-flop, and they'll, you know, I mean, I can find videos on the CrossFit YouTube, old ones, where they explain the difference between the CrossFit, the sport, and CrossFit, like the training and the gyms, right? So they know there's a difference and they've admitted it, but then when it's convenient for them, they'll say, well, you know, unknown and unknowable, bro. Or constantly very functional movement, high intensity, dude, like deal with it. Or, oh, you know, I'd love to have consistent movement standards, but it's all about being ready for anything. And I'm like, well, it'd be nice to know what a handstand pushup is, you know, before the season starts. So it creates consistency. And so I, like, as far as exactly what things we would keep and what things would need to be changed, I think it would still look, feel, smell the same. You know what I mean? It still would be the CrossFit Games and all those things, but you need to make decisions that fully benefit the sport, even if they drift a little bit away from like the things that we're used to seeing, if that makes sense. Again, it would require a longer conversation with like a bunch of smart people in the room with different viewpoints and like finding middle ground.
Not us. Kind of the,
well, it could be us, but it'd be a longer conversation.
I'm just kidding. It seems like the CrossFit group as a whole, there's a personnel issue there when they're just on the whim of their, whether it's convenient for them or not, saying, oh, the methodology. I think potentially what you're saying is right, but it also sounds like a personnel issue if they're just willing to flip-flop back and forth when it's convenient for them instead of saying, oh, we were wrong about that. We can make an adjustment.
Yeah. And you know, like, I mean, at the end of the day, I still want the CrossFit Games to look much like it has the last 10 years from like a workouts and stuff perspective. But when a mistake is made and they say, well, you know, unknown and unknowable, deal with it. It's like, I'm hoping maybe you separate the methodology part from that, and then there becomes more ownership on those things, like the V-snap, for example, right?
Interesting. So Cave Dasher says, criticizing the host, that's from the last round. Minus 5 points, but then Alyssa's giving you plus one for wearing glasses. So I mean,
I knew it.
It all adds up. Someone said they asked a question in the comments and it's not being answered. I mean, fucking hell, like I don't know. Like, if you're looking at what I'm looking at, then you can understand why I'm not asking questions. Interesting one, Dylan. How am I the last one to know that Ariel works in her garage?
Dude, I was gonna bring that up. That's crazy. Do you really?
Believe it or not, I do.
All right. That's so funny. Points at the end of that. So Ariel and Taylor are tied on 5. Brent's on 4. I really liked... Taylor used up about 35 seconds of his time reading a quote. That's an interesting tactic.
Fuck you, dude.
But I thought that Ariel's comparisons to NFL and XFL, even though I don't know what any of those letters stand for. No, I'm kidding. I do. I thought that was an interesting comparison. All right. Our last topic. Should qualifier workout video submissions be required to be public? So now you have, say, quarterfinals and the Open coming up. And now you just have to email a link or input a link with your score. And then CrossFit, you can leave it public, you can leave it private, it's up to you. And then CrossFit judges or whatever look at it if they feel they need to. If you're a masters athlete, they're not going to look at it. But if you are in the open field, they have a certain amount of athletes that they need to look at. They will look at your video, and then your video could end up with like 2 views, one from you and one from them and nothing else. My question is, should everybody be allowed to see it? If they click on your open profile and click the link, should they be allowed to watch your video? That was really long. I don't know why I made that so long. Right. I should have just left the sentence that was on the screen. Brent, you're up first. You've got 60 seconds. Off you go.
All right. I think every video should be public and there should be public voting. And if it's over 51%, your video's done, your season's over. So if your pinky goes over the line, your season's over. If someone walks in front of the camera during one of your handstand pushup reps, your season's over. If you film your plates and it's just like a little bit blurry, like it's like, was that 25 or 35 pounds? Season's over. The reason I like this is because my videos are legit. So I'd be the only person that qualifies for semifinals. I'd get first, second, third, fourth, and fifth place prize money. Maybe the only person at the games. I think that's what we need to do. Everything's public. Jury of public opinion, and like everyone votes, and it's just chaos. And then, you know, everyone's season's over except for mine.
That's right.
And the people that move in slow motion. Those would be the only people that make it. That's it.
I was waiting for you to announce sarcasm at some point during that, but it never came. No. Right, Ariel, you've got 60 seconds. Off you go.
Mine is strategically more of a business move because CrossFit needs to make money. So I would say, yes, they're all going to be public, but you have two qualifications. You need to take the judges course and have your L1. You do those two things. It incentivizes people to do both. And then you can see everybody's videos. You can see Brent throwing down wherever he does, super legit. You can see me throwing down, believe it or not, in my garage. And it'll promote the sport, help bring in a little bit more money to them, incentivize people to do stuff so they can watch their favorite athletes. Also, I think it would help athletes be more responsible with doing the right standards, knowing random people are going to be watching them, and just keeping people accountable, standing up your air squats because you're going to have a bunch of randos watching you. I personally put all my open workouts on YouTube last year because I kind of like Brent, I had nothing to hide. If you want to see it, come see it. And I think we should do that. It's more fun that way.
Good stuff. Taylor, 60 seconds. Off you go.
I agree with both of them, but I think Brent's opinion's coming on a bit strong. I think the first thing CrossFit needs to do is to create a cadre of a first line of defense of volunteer online reviewers who have a valid level one and a valid judges course certificate to create some sort of, okay, leveling system. This is not just some Tom, Dick, and Harry who can say whatever he wants to Danny Spiegel because he doesn't like their content. I agree with the percentage thing, but I think it needs to be, okay, you have a threshold of invalid review that you can't go over. And if you go over that, then your video gets kicked up to HQ for the in-house team to review. So let's say your video needs to have an 80%, this submission is good ranking from this first line of defense. And now your video is going to get pushed through. It doesn't need to get reviewed by HQ. And then there's this 3 to 5% threshold that if you have more than 3 to 5% votes of an invalid submission, it's going to get kicked back to HQ and they're going to have the second review. And whether it's good or bad, they'll have the final say. You'll be good to go, presumably, if the personnel is good.
Good stuff. Brent, you've 20 before you start your 20 seconds, were you being genuine in your 60 seconds or sarcastic?
Fuck yeah, he was.
Your tone was sarcasm. No, no, the words you were saying sounded sarcastic, but the tone sounded genuine.
I don't know. I don't.
This is 50-50 of whether you get 3 points or one.
Oh. I don't really know anymore. I'll let okay. you decide.
Right, you've got 20 seconds out of it, Brent. Off you go.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I like both of their ideas, too. I think, you know, having your L1. I didn't like how you referred to someone with their L1 as a rando, though. I mean, that's pretty questionable. Taylor Selfs is definitely, he should probably get more points than me.
Wow.
Well, playing the nice game.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Ariel, you've got 20 seconds. Off you go.
Sorry, to clarify, if you have your judges course and L1, you're not a rando. Rando would be the random person who would make a YouTube video about my bad reps.
Hiller. But
I kind of like the savageness of Brent's because those who do follow the rules should get rewarded for it.
Good stuff. Taylor, off you go.
Am I going to get point deductions for calling Hiller a rando? Is he going to comment at me in the comments? I don't have any rebuttals. I think I know how I can see why Brent feels the way he feels. It's super frustrating when you're very meticulous and at the top of your game, taking all the right steps and watching fuckers get in when they don't take the right steps.
Yeah, maybe putting words in Brent's mouth, calling them fuckers. But yeah, I take that.
Those are my words.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Of course he's here. He's but now, Batman, right?
Enjoy. Enjoy the endless videos that are going to be made about you now. He's going to do a deep dive after that rando comment. All right. Let me do your points. You can talk amongst yourselves there.
I'll tell you how I really feel. I actually do think they should be private. I think with how quarters went the last few years and how the Rogue Invitational went, the Rogue Invitational qualifier, I don't think we can ever expect an online qualifier to go better than those. I think it's a gong show. I think it's an imperfect system. I think we need to try to get more live competitions and try to eliminate online competitions. And any efforts to try to like make it better, like I think what Taylor Self said, that makes a lot of sense, but it's still gonna be a gong show. Like it's still, someone's still gonna have a kind of blurry video or like, oh, were those handstand pushups? It was so far away. Well, it's far away because you had to film the lunges. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's just, I think it's a losing system. And so it needs to be removed as much as possible. Yeah, that's what I really think. And then I think they should just remain private or have like really certified people like Ariel and like Taylor said, but I think they should just be private. Cause if you put all the games athletes videos public, you wouldn't like what you see.
Right. And judging in general needs to be professionalized, just like, you know, an NFL referee, they're going to make bad calls. That's why there's video review, but those guys make $100,000 a year and judges are mostly volunteers.
Yeah. I'm looking for, oh, former contestant. Unknown Unknowable is their way of covering for poor organization that mistakes.
No, it's not.
Imagine they brought that up at a stakeholders meeting. They're like, what happened to the prophets? Well, Unknown Unknowable. I don't know.
I mean, you said it's not, Taylor, but you haven't been part of the conversations I've been part of them.
That's what it is. I'm looking for a comment. I want to give the original commenter. Fuck, where is it? Oh, I can't find it. Hitler, ask that question again because I can't find it. There is a lot.
Yeah, you're lighting up. Hey, is there? Can I see the chat room, or is that just for you?
If you click comments, you should be able to see it. All right, Hitler asked this first. I can't find it, but this person paid. Brent, should running with a dumbbell be in competitive CrossFit? Yes or no?
Dude, I got lit up in the Reddit by this guy.
Was that you? Is that actually you on Reddit?
Yeah.
We should probably give some context. I'm on Reddit sometimes, and someone asked the question, "Hey, I've got this comp where I have to run with a dumbbell. Do you have any suggestions?" And I commented, "I'm like, that seems kind of stupid." So I would just wear like a hoodie, like shove it in your shoulders and just put it on your shoulder. Cause if they're going to make you run with a dumbbell, then you should be able to put a hoodie in your t-shirt. And so it's Taylor's competition. And so now I'm getting blasted for, calling running with a dumbbell stupid, which I stand behind. Cause it's like, I can run pretty fast with a 50-pound dumbbell and that's going to bang up my shoulders and my neck, which I'd just rather not have to deal with those bruises kind of, but I mean, I do it. Like, I mean, I've done dumber things in competition, but I'd prefer to run with a sandbag. It's kind of my take.
Unknown Unknowable though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Unknown Unknowable.
Exactly. I don't mind running with a sandbag, but I'd prefer to not run with like a sharp dumbbell. I mean, obviously every dumbbell degree.
What about 50-pound dumbbell or 100-pound ruck?
Like, are we comparing those on a sliding scale of safety?
Which would you rather do, that Rogue Invitational event with a 50-pound dumbbell or with the 100 pounds that they had to do it at?
I'd probably still rather do 100.
Oh,
but like, wow. I think if we're asking what's safer, I think the 100 is. And I'm not saying it was like safe. I think there's a limit. But I mean, we run with 200-pound bear hug carries at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, that's not running when you're bear hugging it. But yeah, I don't know. I think like, you start blurring the line of like, oh, like put a, I don't know, what's the sharpest thing in my gym? Sharpest thing in the bar, go. I don't know. I just don't see why we'd need to put, I guess this is the thing. If you wanted to do a loaded run, I guess here would be, if I was to make a little rule, I'd be like, oh, you want to run with load? It has to be either a backpack, a vest, or a sandbag. You know, and if you don't have those things, then you don't get to run with weight.
Like funnily enough, I think Taylor's initial point was like, you're not always going to, like in the real world, you're not always going to be picking.
We're playing a sport.
He's right. He's right. Brent's right.
We're playing a sport, right? We're not, someone clip that. In the real world, like, you know, in the real world, do you have to do handstand pushups repetitively against the wall? No, there's nothing functional about that. You know, like really, I don't mind doing them. I'll do them. But it's part of the sport. But it's not.
That's why I never do them, is because it's not functional.
Yeah.
I
know.
Me too.
Like, it's not.
There's your workout for after this. Dylan was apologizing on your behalf, and he said you have to do 100 burpees. I'm doing 100 burpees every day this year.
I actually had more that I was going to say, but I prefaced it with Dylan while I was rehearsing, and he's like, no, don't say that. So it could have been worse.
Or better. You could have got more points.
Or better. What was I going to say?
JR challenged me to do 100 burpees for the year, and I accepted. And then I, on the first day I did it, I was like, 1 out of 365. And then someone messaged me. It was like, it's a leap year. I was like, fuck you, JR. That extra day is going to be the killer. All right. Our winner for today is Taylor Self on 9 points.
Wow.
Ariel is second on 8. And Brent is third on 5 points. Yeah, woof. You shouldn't have insulted me at the start. It just really set the tone for everything. Yes, Taylor, what's wrong?
Who's the semifinal round with?
Valner.
In case I'm fucked.
No, Valner, you. And then next week is... Fuck. Steve Fawcett, Seth from Jump Ship, and... Oh, God, I'm sorry. Third person.
Chase, right? Or did Chase already go?
James Newbury. So James Newbury, Seth from Jump Ship, and Steve Fawcett from HBPO. So the three of them are on. And then next week is... Or the week after that will be Taylor, Valner, and one of those three. In the semi-final, and then you will go on to face Hiller in the final and whoever's in the third bout.
I'm establishing my credibility as a pundit. Okay.
Oh god. Is it too late to take away a point?
A pundit. Oh boy.
Sevon's words.
Will James Newbury be in a banana hammock? I mean, if he wants that initial bonus point at the start.
A bonus point? What if it's a front tuck in a banana hammock?
Ariel and Brent stood zero chance against Pedro's friend. I actually consider myself friends with all three. So
you're more friends with Dylan than me. I bet you I got one bonus point because of Dylan, didn't I?
That's yeah, well, you see, Dylan makes an effort, Ariel. That's the difference there. All right, thank you to everybody watching, and to I saw some people sign up as members and stuff. Thank you, appreciate that. I don't have any behind the scenes early access, but I appreciate the money. It's great. Thanks, Ariel, Brent, and Taylor. I'll be live on Friday at the same time, like 8 p.m. my time, whatever time this was your time. Savannah's going to come on and talk about the behind the scenes, the launch, and all that kind of stuff. So I'll see you then. And thanks very much, everybody. Thank you.